We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
West Virginia coach Nikki Izzo-Brown met with media earlier today. Hear what she had to say about her team coming up right after this.
Trust the climb. West Virginia football is on the rise under coach Neil Brown.
Ellinger pressured, Stills got him down. He sacked him. Darius Stills sacks Sam Ellinger.
Join us as we do battle against the Big 12 at Mountaineer Field and Milan Pushkar Stadium.
Deion Phil has a wide open receiver. The ball is caught into the end zone. Touchdown!
Season tickets for the 2020 season are on sale now at WVUGame.com or by calling 1-800-WVUGAME.
Join the climb today.
Yeah, so we were just closing shop to go on to spring break. And then that following week, we were going to go down and play Carolina Courage, which was the world champions in the NWSL professional team. So, you know, we were in our spring season, which is, you know, a high level of our development. So it was really disappointing, obviously, how everything happened. But, yeah, that was kind of where we were. And, you know, I haven't seen the girls live to grab them. I don't even know. Where are we, guys, in quarantine? 60 some odd days?
All right. Thanks, Coach. Your first question here comes from Greg Hunter. Greg, go ahead.
So, Coach, let's start off. What did you miss by not being able to complete the sprint?
Yeah, you know, Greg, not that I have favorite parts of my season, but you know, I just love developing my players. And, you know, when you're in the fall season, it's about developing, you know, our system of play and then opposing teams, dealing with opposing team system of play. So our spring season is a lot about our team concept, but individual concepts. So I really miss maximizing my athletes' potential and really developing them. You know, that's what really motivates me as a coach to have no regrets when they graduate. So I really miss that aspect because we have so much more time to spend with that.
All right, your next question here from John Antonik. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Nikki, a hard question here. What are your biggest unknowns and what are your biggest concerns as you bring the girls back and get ready for a season?
Yeah, I mean, I think like all of us, we know how important football is, you know, and not my football. You know, I think we've all understand and respect what football does for us. And, you know, so that's been, you know, and what I feel in this pandemic is just kind of watching what they're going to do with football. And then after that, you know, we'll kind of fall in line, you know, and see where, you know, we fall with women's soccer. I know that, you know, all of our associations and our women's soccer chairs and Big 12 chairs, you know, everybody's just really making sure that, you know, we're thinking collectively and being safe and healthy first. But I think once football goes off, you know, we're going to have a season. You know, we're just going to have to see what kind of season that's going to look like and what segments of the season and how long the games and what have you. But, you know, it's so interesting in my 25 years here, just how patient you have to be. And every day it changes.
Your next question here from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
So, you know, you don't know when your season's going to start, but a lot of the football talk is around return to play and how long it will take them to get ready, considering all their athletes are scattered. How long will it take your athletes, do you think, to get ready for a season, get them back on campus? 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks? What do you think you need?
So, Greg, that's been a huge concern of mine because of spring season and how we're in the weight room, we're developing the athlete physically, injury prevention. So we missed all of that, right? So then you move into the summer months and they can't play right now. And there are some kids, you know, don't have any access to weights or anything like that. Then you kind of move to last week in the Bundesliga, which is the German professional league. So they were the first ones in soccer to kick off and they had so many injuries. So my concern is that piece. Like, how do we just make sure we want to play? And I know my kids will be like, I don't care, coach. We could train for 2 days and we just want to go. So I do think that we have to look at that. And I've never had to really look at that in that manner, because it's normally been our preseason. We bring them together. It's about 2 weeks, right? So my hope is it's not less than 2 weeks. If it's a little bit more, of course I'm happy. I do not think that the NCAA would allow us to do anything less than 2 weeks for our preseason. Again, you know, I don't want to be greedy, because I want a season. So whatever they decide, but I also am very concerned about the health of the athlete, and we just have to be very mindful of that. But you know, again, I'm not greedy, but I also don't want to see a lot of injuries. And I think that Bundesliga showed that we got to be very careful when we kind of get back into it.
Next question here from John. Go ahead, John.
Having said that, Nikki, I would imagine cardiovascular is a huge component of this. And will that, do you think, impact quality of play possibly when you get back to playing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying to, you know, think about all aspects of that. And just, you know, of course, I'm already tactics, right? You know, we're doing everything we can to motivate the athlete and to make sure they understand that when it's go time, it's go time. And that self-motivation piece is huge. But yeah, John, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, for sure. I mean, even though we have voluntary workouts in the summer months, you know, a lot of our athletes take it very serious and they come back to campus and they're working very heavily with our strength and conditioning coach. So that will definitely be a concern of mine.
Next question here from Kevin Kinder. Go ahead, Kevin.
I think this is probably another on the list of unanswerable questions, but with so many players from Canada and other countries, have you all started looking or getting any input on travel restrictions, quarantines when they get back, those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, again, I'm concerned. I know we had a head coaches meeting the other week, and I just want to know what our university is going to do first. And then we'll move from there. But yeah, it's not like a kid's coming from New Jersey, right? So, you know, that's definitely a concern of mine. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we don't have necessarily any freshmen that need special, you know, not to get too specific about it, but, you know, from embassies and things of that nature. But yeah, there is a concern. And, you know, we're definitely looking very closely at, those aspects of what it takes to get here and the, how the university itself is going to deal with it, and then the athletic department.
All right, go ahead, John.
Yeah, last one for me. You know, along those lines of what Kevin asked, you know, different states are opening at different times. Different countries are doing things differently. I would assume you can't have a one-size-fit-all program for your kids when they come back, because they're going to be in varying degrees of shape and all that, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, we've talked about that as a staff, that, you know, we've normally had this cookie cut, like, we're going to do these physical testing, we're going to do this, you know, strength testing. And, you know, we just really have to embrace being honest and where we're at with every athlete. And yeah, some of it's on them, but some of it's on this, that they have no, you know, some of our kids up north right now, they can't even get out because it's so cold. You know, to do some cardio if they don't have a treadmill or of that nature. So, you know, we're really going to work hand in hand, and it's really going to be a team effort to have a great understanding of where the athlete's at. And, you know, we're working closely with the NCAA to see what we can do to monitor them. And it's not just about, you know, the success of it. To me, it's embracing, you know, overall health and well-being also. So yeah, good question.
Go ahead, Greg Hunter.
So a little different tact here. Have you been in contact with Kadisha and Ashley? And just what have they meant to your program? Do you still sell them on the recruiting trail?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they definitely, you know, like Ashley did stay in France. She didn't come home right away. You know, Keish got back to Canada, so that was really important. You know, for her to get home. But, you know, I think the kind of in a nutshell, we talked a little bit about the letdown of the Olympics, and then just, you know, just how they're doing and how they're doing their workouts and their motivation. And, but yeah, you know, it's a West Virginia family. You know, my goal is to get to as many weddings as I can. So I'm always going to have contact, I hope, with all my athletes. But, you know, it's always nice to connect with those two because they're world class. I mean, both of them have been named Canadian Female Athlete of the Year. And so they've really meant so much to me as people, but also as professional soccer players and what they've done to put us on the map at that level.
One more from John here.
A lot. I got one more popped in my head. Have you had any conversations with other coaches, and how much input have the coaches had in this process of returning and preparing and all the things that you need to get a season started?
Yeah, it's really been interesting. I mean, the Big 12 coaches, all the head coaches, you know, we've talked regularly. We've been Zooming, you know, if not every 2 weeks, every week. So it's been really interesting how we've let that, you know, that competitive guard down and really embraced just what's best for our conference and what's best for our athlete, you know, and it's been ongoing. And then obviously I have a lot of friends in the business, and just seeing how, you know, people are operating and what everyone's doing, you know, in their athletic departments, but also with their teams.
Mm-hmm. We got a question here from Carly Nevis. Go ahead, Carly.
Hey, Coach. I mean, last year you take a really young team to a Sweet 16. You mentioned a youth movement last year, and it ended up being, you know, probably exceeding your expectations. Before the pandemic, what was your mindset heading into this spring with a lot of those girls coming back? And how do you, you mentioned it a little bit, how have you kept the group motivated during this time to hopefully be doing what you've been talking about?
Yeah, this was such a big spring, you know, and I think just for us to understand where they were at, to get those five competitions, to play high level that we were going to play. We were even supposed to go on a foreign tour to Northern Italy. So it was really a disappointing time, but what we've been doing, and what the only thing really the NCAA has allowed us to do, is break down film. So all of us coaches, we've been breaking down film and really showing the tactics and the expectation, and showing different athletes and their movements. So they're having a really good understanding just with film. So we're, man, I'm zooming. So are these athletes. And I'm just so thankful that they're so open-minded to learning and watching film and, you know, doing the learning that way where we can't, you know, because again, that's the best teacher is getting out there and doing it. But now I guess it's the next one we're embracing is just seeing it.
You have a question from Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Coach, a bit of positive news that has arisen over the past couple of months was the new addition of Emily Charles and Jessica Kasichek. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. A little bit of offense, a little bit of defense. What did you see out of those two girls, and what do you hope to get out of them when they finally arrive in Morgantown?
Yeah, so let's talk goalkeeping. We definitely had a big need. You guys know losing Riley. We only had one other goalkeeper, so that was first and foremost one of our biggest gets, and making sure that as a staff, we really put ourselves in a good position to have goalkeeping intact. And we feel with Jess, you know, having coming from Connecticut and the experience she's had at that high level, it is definitely a great opportunity for us, and especially in that position. Then, of course, it's always so important to me to have kids from our state. Emily Charles not only has gotten it done on the playing field, but she's an incredible student, and just both of them are going to be a great representation of our team, our athletic department, and our university. So, you know, I expect big things out of them, and I'm super excited.
One more question here from Greg Hunter.
So, Coach, in terms of recruiting, you talked about a couple of transfers there, but just general recruiting, how has that changed in the current world? You get, you know, kids from a little bit of everywhere. I don't know if, you know, doing it virtually has changed your how you're doing it, but, you know, talk about how you're recruiting now.
I've you know, as old as I am, and I am a dinosaur, I've been FaceTiming recruits. I just love that. I just – you know, for whatever reason, you know, I've been doing that with recruits. So that's really been important to me because these kids are so like text, and I just want to see them, right? So I've been doing that. And now the NCAA definitely has allowed us to do virtual tours and things of that nature. And now, depending on the year and depending on how many times, we can even do Zooms with tactics or Zooms with team stuff. So, you know, it's been really interesting how that's evolved, and you know, how I've had to learn Zoom and, you know, screen sharing and all the fun things with that. So the NCAA's opened up different avenues for us, and I've had to open my mind to technology more, and I'm just embracing it and trying to do whatever we can do to show these recruits what an awesome place West Virginia University is.
Question from Mike Kazaza. Mike, go ahead.
All right, Nikki, how are you?
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I was doing great until I lost power and my internet went crazy for a little bit. Exactly. I think I heard you talking about the Bundesliga for a little bit. I think you talked about injuries there, but as it came back, were you eyeballing anything? Was it the quality of play and how it, I don't know, how maybe it could transfer to what you might expect when your season starts, or was it injuries, anything in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch anything live at this point, right? You know, so I was definitely watching some of the games, and I was worried. You know, I'm a bit worried about the injuries, and I'm a bit worried about the movements. As much as, you know, we can tell the kids to run and, you know, lift, or, you know, and home, you know, that cutting and that acceleration, deacceleration, those soft tissue injuries were something I was looking at, and unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. And contact, you know, we talked about that in our coaching group. I'm like, none of our kids have had contact. Unique. We're a contact sport, as much as, you know, we don't like to say we are. We're a contact sport. So that being able to hold somebody off was definitely something, Mike, I was looking at. And unfortunately, it kind of came true.
Looks like John has another one.
I keep coming up with questions here. Well, you know, the season has a normal rhythm to it as you go and you build toward postseason. With the possibility of maybe a kid getting the virus, there could be stops, interruptions, delays, injuries you mentioned. Have you talked with your staff about how you're going to deal with that, or is that something you're going to just have to cross the bridge when you approach it?
So I think one of the best things that ever happened to me as a coach is when I got these World Cup players. So what I'm saying is, you know, during our season, John, I don't even know if Keisha and Ashley ever did a preseason, right? Then I had Bianca miss, you know, 3 weeks. Then I had Riley miss 2 weeks. Then I had Vanessa miss, you know, I don't even know how much. So I was always adapting as a coach, and I was so frustrated with that. But then I was like, I'm going to embrace this. Like, this was just such a part of what I had to do and what I still have to do with these type of high level athletes, because they're competing for their countries, competing for World Cups, competing for Olympics. So I'm a little bit prepared for that, I think, you know, and just, you know, making sure that I'm open-minded to different things. Yes. I mean, you know, we even talked as a staff, like, how about if we all get the virus, then what? You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's things you got to think about. But my hope is every day as we move along, or as football, you know, starts their process of resocialization, we'll have better understanding. So I think I have a little bit of open-mindedness when it comes to, okay, we have an athlete, we don't have an athlete. We have an athlete, we don't have an athlete. But, you know, I'm just going to, you know, worry about what I have to worry about at that point, and hopefully the experts will give me good information.
Got a question from Greg Hunter. If we don't have any more, this will be the last one. So if you have one, put it in there. Go ahead, Greg.
So, Nikki, this sort of goes along with that, but I mean, just straight out, how concerned are you that there won't be a season, at least as scheduled, that you may have to play in the spring? I mean, are you looking at all those kind of options?
Yeah, I mean, what has been said to us from the NCAA is they want a championship. They want women's soccer to have a championship. So we know that the NCAA wants us to have a championship. We know we have to have at least 14 games to crown a champion. So I know that. Now, again, things can change, right? So, you know, I'm very hopeful that we will have some type of season. And if it gets delayed, for example, or canceled in the fall, they've also mentioned that it will kick back up in the spring. But the NCAA does want to have a fall championship season. Now, if it does, you know, if there's another spike, you know, they've mentioned that we kick back off and finish it in the spring. God knows, I don't know how that's going to look. But like I said, I'm going to be flexible and open-minded.
Question from Mike. Go ahead.
Nikki, do you have any idea what the style of play might look like? Because it sounds like you don't have a ton of – well, like, it could be very –
Subbing.
may need your bench more, or maybe, like, teams aren't as organized offensively and you can just counterattack better, or is that just kind of TBD?
I mean, we've talked about that, and, you know, everything's about right now is cost cutting. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we need a big roster this year in my mind right now. I'm like, okay, we need to make sure that every kid, you know, every soldier is ready. So, you know, that's definitely something I've been thinking about. So yeah, tactics, we might be a little bit different in moments, and, you know, it's definitely something I'm considering.
Question here from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
All right. This will be my last one.
So, I don't believe you, Greg.
I'll always come up with more. Hey, you talked a little bit about the Olympics. Obviously, they're pushed back a year, and I assume Kadisha and Ashley still will play for Canada. But what other of your athletes are on various, you know, have opportunities to play for their various national teams?
Yeah. I mean, again, Michaela Bam and Esther Mayaki, both for Cameroon. I think Riley Foster definitely has a shot, and Bianca definitely have a shot for Canada. So I think those two are in the mix and heavily being looked at for their senior teams.
And that was West Virginia coach Nikki Izzo-Brown. Thanks for listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.